Glory to God. I feel it. I feel a fire burning on the inside. Amen. I feel it burning on the inside. The wind is blowing outside. It's cold outside, but it's warm in here. It's warm in here. I see the Lord kindling, fanning the flames of revival in the hearts of the people. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Welcome, listening online. Thanks for joining us. It's going to be a great day today. It's a great day. For those that couldn't make it today, I know there's snow and wind and the roads are covered. But bless those that are here, but I want to bless those that are online as well. Thanks for joining us. You're going to receive today. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn to 2 Chronicles, we're going to start out with the offering this morning. And I usually share on, tithing or giving and that side of things. But I'm going to switch it up this morning. Because I've realized that, you know, it's what we focus on when we tithe and we give that makes all the difference in the world. You know, and you know a tithe is 10%, and offering is above your tithe. So offering starts at 11. Amen? The first 10 is the tithe. After that, it's offering. What your heart tells you to give, where the Lord tells you to give, that's what you need to be faithful to give into. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, I'm going to start out in verse 5, because it's our focus that is key, because we need to make sure it's not just giving, but it's giving by faith and giving to the Lord, and keeping your eyes on God and keeping your faith turned on to God as you give. Not just giving, but having faith when you give. Your focus has to be on God. And I just want to share a story here starting out in verse 5. And I get so excited, I can't even get my words together. But 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 5. For you listening online, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 5. It says, "Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judea together and set over them captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, according to their fathers' houses throughout all Judea and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them to be 300,000 choice men able to go to war who could handle spear and shield." So here we have 300,000 choice men. You say, what does this have to do with an offering? You're going to see something. Because when you give an offering and you give your tithe, you want God on your side. This is what I want you to see. This is what I want you to focus on. You need God on your side. And as a believer, you have God on your side. So that allows, when you focus on the Lord and you're in right standing with God and you're releasing your faith, you're going to see here that with God, all things are possible. And without God, it's a struggle. And watch this now. So there's 300,000 choice men that are able to fight over 20 years old. And it goes on, verse 6, "He also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver." So here he added 100,000 of men of valor. So these are soldiers. These aren't just, you know, having a draft. These are already trained men. So there's a difference here between the 100,000 versus the 300,000, which sounds really good in the natural, right? Another 100,000 soldiers to go to battle, that's a good thing, right? That's got to be God's blessing. Watch. Verse 7, "But a man of God came to him saying, 'O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel.'" That is the key I want you to get. If the Lord is not on it or with it, it's going to fail. And it's not going to get where it needs to get. It will literally hinder what you're trying to do if the Lord's not with it. And this goes with your finances. I want you to see this. This goes with 2024. You need to go with the Lord and by the power of His Spirit through this year. Because that's what's going to get you through this year. Amen. And along with your finances as well, you have to realize, notice what the man of God said. He said, "For the Lord is not with Israel." In disobedience and in not following God, the blessing of the Lord and the hand of God is not upon it. And I'm going to share some more scriptures along these lines, but it goes on and it says, "For the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone, be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow. Verse 9, and Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? See, he spent money to get those 100,000, and he didn't want to lose his money. But he also didn't want them to go with him because the Lord's blessing wasn't upon him. The favor of God wasn't with him. So here he had an issue. He spent a bunch of money to get these soldiers, and then he realized the Lord's not with him, so I don't really want them. Okay? So it goes on and it says, verse 9, then Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. So the man of God said, what did he say? Don't worry about the money. God will take care of more than just that money. He'll take care of you and he'll supply everything that you have need of. And I want you to realize something here. Going with God is the key to your victory. Your financial victory and every victory, your ministry, everything God has for you, the Lord's blessing and the anointing is the key. Don't worry about the amount of money. Be concerned about who's behind the money. Amen. The Lord. Be concerned. Have the Lord on your side in everything you do, and God will meet every need that you have. That's what I want you to see in this. And you can be a king. You can have all this. You can prepare this big army. But if the Lord's not with you, you're going down. That's right. That's why the church should be shouting and dancing and full of joy, because we're the Lord's army and we have the Lord with us. Amen. So we already have the victory. So don't worry about your finances this year. Be focused on the Lord and God will meet. What does he say? The man answered him, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Way more than what you have spent already. God is more than willing. You may have made bad decisions last year. Spent money where you shouldn't have spent. Guess what? With the Lord, he'll make up the difference. This is your year to abound and overflow. So it goes on, verse 10. So Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim to go back home. And this is interesting. Therefore, their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. So the people got mad. The troops got mad because they got sent there. Even though they got paid, they were told to go home, and they were mad. I'm telling you, when you follow the Lord, it may ruffle feathers for other people. Amen. When you give to the Lord and you focus on the Lord, other people will get upset that aren't following the Lord. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, and I want to, you know, more than just encourage, I want you to just press right into what God has, because what the Lord is setting up and what he is establishing, his kingdom, it will not fail. It will go forth and you will win the battle. Amen. You will win the battle. Think of Job. If you want to take notes, Job 42:10. I'm just going to share this with you. Totally different. Everybody talks about how bad Job had it, and Job did have it bad. And everybody was against Job. You know, things came on him. Friends were against him. His wife told him, just give up and die. Yeah, not real good, huh? But who was with Job? God was with Job. You better believe it. And if God is with you, don't worry about it. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. You can have everybody against you. Everybody can be against you. But if you have the Lord, you have what you have need of. But guess what? Nobody here at New Freedom is against you. We're all in this together. Amen. So you can look at your neighbor and say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Amen. You're in it. We're in it together. But Job had a problem. But guess what the Lord did for Job? In verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses. So that's the first thing. Everything that Job lost, the Lord restored. But the Lord wasn't done with that. That wasn't just good enough. I mean, many of us can be excited if we lose money and then we gain that money back. We're like, yes, we didn't lose any. Well, that's not how God works. God doesn't get you just enough. He just doesn't make up what the enemy stole. Watch this now. When he prayed for his friends, notice what Job did. Job went exactly into the people that were against him. He prayed for his friends that were despising him. Notice where his heart was. And when your heart is for people, you will pray for people, and the Lord will honor that prayer and do more than just bring back what you lost. Because this is what he did for Job. He said, indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Hallelujah. Woo! Twice as much as he had before. He had a lot. And the enemy pulled it away from him and pulled friendships and pulled family away from him. And the Lord restored that and again gave him twice as much as he had before. What a God we serve. But notice the key to Job's victory. He kept his focus on the Lord. He did not despise. He did not talk against God. He did not say, God, you're just a total, what you're doing in my life, I can't stand it. You're not watching over me. I give up. I'm running. I'm listening to my wife, and I'm going to go kill myself. Job didn't do that. Job said, God, whom I serve, though the enemy comes and tries to take anything, everything from me, I'm going to look to you. You are my source. You are my everything. This is who I give to, and this is who we give to. And as you give your offering today, I want you to focus on what the Lord has. Amen. Do exactly what he's telling you to do. You guys listening online, all around the world, do what the Lord's telling you to do. Keep your focus on the Lord. Don't be concerned about what has happened or what might happen. Focus on who can bring it to pass. Notice something what Jesus did when he fed the 5,000. When he had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. What's the first thing the Lord did? He looked up to heaven and then blessed it. He focused on heaven, not the number of people, not the limitation of the loaves and the fishes. He looked to the source that can bless it and multiply it. Amen, church. That's what you need to do. 2024, don't look at the economy. Don't look at your checkbook. I mean, do budgets. I mean, keep your checkbook. But focus on your spiritual focus is the key. That's the key to everything. What you're focusing on, that's where you're going. We talked about vision. What you look at is where you're going to go. Amen. And when you focus on the Lord like Job did, you don't not only get what's stolen from you, you get double. Amen. Everybody say double. Amen. If you want double, you keep your focus on the Lord, and he'll make sure you have your double. Amen. Amen. Even this day. You ready to give this morning? Amen. Amen. Listening online, you ready to give? Amen. I heard him. Amen. God is good. There's many ways to give. You can give through the website newfreedom-church.com. You can give by texting 866-863-1948. You can give Venmo as well at NFC Give. Obviously, there's snail mail. There's many ways to give, but it's the focus of who you're focusing on when you give. Amen. That is the key. The key is what is your faith in when you give? Don't give out of duty. Don't give out of necessity. Give because you love God. And that's where your focus is. And that's where the Lord is going to take what you think is little, and he's going to make much out of it. He's going to double it in Jesus' name. He's going to double it. Ushers, if you could come forward and serve the people. Amen. I'm believing for supernatural breakthrough this year. Amen. Supernatural. Listening online, I'm telling you, the Lord has great things for you this year. And you can give and you can believe God and watch. Make sure the Lord is with you in what you're doing. Amen. Don't do anything out of God's will. Don't ever do anything out of God's will. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel to give a little time for those listening online. Thank you, Lord. Cheerful giver. Cheerful. Do not base your giving off of your circumstances. Base your giving off of your love for the Lord. Oh, a cheerful heart. A merry heart. Lord, we love you. And we thank you that you will even do more than just supply all of our needs, Father God. You will pour out such a blessing in our lives so we can be a blessing to those around us. So we can feed and take care of the widows. so we can feed and take care of those that are in need, so we can preach and teach the gospel, so we can go out into the world and proclaim the good news. Oh God, you're doing great things in your people. As we fix our eyes on you, Lord, in this new year, Father, I thank you that you're going to make a way when it seems like there is no way. You're going to bring streams and rivers in the desert places. Hallelujah. You're going to repair broken places. Strengthen weak areas. Pull down walls and strongholds that do not need to be there. Oh, Lord, I thank you that as we focus on you and fix our eyes on you, we shall win every battle that comes our way. Our victory is in you, Lord. And we are already victorious because you live on the inside of us. Father, I thank you for this tithe and this offering, Lord God. I thank you for those listening online as they give, as they purpose in their heart to sow into good ground. Father, I thank you for supernatural increase coming their way. In Jesus' mighty name, and if you agree with that, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. There's a lot of agreement going on here today. Amen. When you agree together, shoo, it's touching. Man, the power of God shows up. And it's no different. It's no different wherever you go, church. Wherever you go, the power of God is with you.
Amen.
Amen. There's a fire burning on the inside of you. There's a fire burning in me. Today's message, I'm going to just get right into it. The Lord spoke to me during prayer and fasting on a word called fervency. And that's a passion within each and every believer. You know, when you become a new creation in Christ, the Spirit of God comes and dwells in you, lives on the inside of you. And with that comes a passion for the things of God. With that comes a fervency, a desire on the inside. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because old things are passed away, church, when you get born again. Behold, all things become new. And that newness is the kingdom of God. And there's a fervency. There's a red hot, there's a zeal that comes along with that new birth experience. Where it changes your life. Your perspective changes about people. Your perspective changes about yourself. You look to God instead of looking to man. You're not swayed by the things of the world. You're moved by the things of God, the promises of God. That's what I want to stir up in your spirit today. Because that the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is speaking to your spirit. And when it's speaking, your faith grabs a hold of that. And that's what I'm dealing with today. I'm not dealing with the mind today. I'm not dealing with the flesh today. I'm speaking to your spirit today. I want to speak to your spirit where God lives. Amen. I'm not speaking to your vessel or your intellect. I'm speaking to your spirit today. Because there's a fervency on the inside. And when I think of fervency, you know, I think of red hot zeal or white hot zeal, excuse me. In Webster's, it says heat, fire, intensity, passion, and enthusiasm. And that's broad in spectrum. And you'll realize when you study the Greek is much more defined than the English language. The English language is very basic. But I always thought fervency was like white hot zeal. That's what I was taught. And that is part of it. But there's much more to fervency than just a white hot zeal, than just a drive. You know, there's an aim. Amen. There's portions of fervency that'll cause you to activate something on the inside, to give you a desire on the inside, and then an activation to fulfill that desire. And that's what starts in a believer's life is that desire on the inside gets fed and then it starts producing on the outside. You coming to church today didn't start with when you woke up this morning. It started in your heart when you want to be in the presence of God and you want to fellowship with each other. It's a kingdom work on the inside that causes you to come to church on Sunday morning, causes you to read your Bible, causes you to pray, causes you to love your enemies. And you'll find out, as I go through Scripture here, the word fervency is in the New Testament. So I'm staying in the New Testament today. And there's two main areas when it talks about fervency in Scripture. Prayer and love for the brethren. And those are two powerful areas we must, as believers, keep strong on the inside of us, is our desire to love God, our desire to love others, and to pray for each other. That should never leave a believer's life. The love of God does not leave a believer's life unless you allow it to, unless you grow cold, hard, and get a hard heart. But if you got a pure heart for God and you're born again, there is a love for people on the inside of you, whether you know it or not. You may have some hardness on the outside you got to work through from your old nature, but on the inside, you have a heart for people. You want and have a desire to help people. That's the fervency of God. That's a born-again spirit living on the inside of you to give you a desire to help others out, to believe for other people's well-being. Amen. And what causes fervency to promote into an action is the gifts that God has placed in you. Because you'll have a fervency depending on the gift that God has in you. And you can't see it online, but everybody here knows Mr. Rick, right? Yeah, what a great man of God. But the gift in him, when he gives you a hug, the love of God radiates out of that hug. There's a fervency on the inside that causes that. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I did anyway. But when that hug comes, it's the love of God just exudes out of him. And it just, it comes on you and you're like, ah. It's just that I can't explain it. But that's a gift of mercy and love on the inside of them, that when the Spirit of God comes on him, that fervency, he'll come and hug everybody. And that love just, I don't know how to explain it. It just comes out of him onto whatever he hugs. Whatever he, that's just a fervency. But it's that gifting, that fervency attaches to the gift. And when you walk in that, that's when you see people are free and excited and happy because they're walking in their gift because of the fervency, the desire that the Lord has placed on the inside has attached to the gifting and the calling that's on their life. Amen. And you'll see this on every person, and everybody operates differently. Some people aren't huggers, but when they get behind the pulpit and they're called the minister, man, that fervency comes on an evangelist to just, the anointing comes on them to minister. What is it? That's that fervency on the inside that's coming out through their gift of boldness to preach and proclaim the gospel. So I ask you, church, what is your gift that when you attach fervency and desire to it, it makes you happy to serve and do that area? Amen. Maybe it's hospitality. Amen. Maybe it's praying for people. Maybe you're an intercessor and you get thrilled about praying for hours during the day. But not everybody feels that same thrill, right? Peter had a hard time praying for an hour. He fell asleep. He struggled at it. That wasn't his prime gifting, but he could preach at Pentecost. Sure, sure. Yeah. He stepped into where God met him and God created him to be. And every single member of the church, every single born-again believer has the ability to have fervency in an area for God. The kingdom of God that lives in you gives you a fervent desire to fulfill something for God. And my goal as a pastor is to help you find out what to link your fervency to. So when you attach to it, you go and you bless the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Are you here today? Amen. Oh, there we go. Glory to God. Amen. So the first area of fervency, there's two main areas, actually three areas of fervency breakdown in the New Testament. And I want to talk about them because I want you to be able to see them and understand them a little better. And the first one is in Colossians 4, 12 through 13. And it's Epaphras, I believe is the way you pronounce that. But this is an adjective. It's describing a person. Amen? And when I read this, you're going to find out that this description of fervency is to determine to do something. There's an intent to it. You intently, you have it on the inside that you demonstrate it. You want, it comes out of your spirit and it activates you to do something. And watch this. In Colossians 4:12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you, in prayers that you may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. So what is that fervent prayer that he was praying? Why was he praying that? Because he had a desire for the church and the believers to stand perfect, complete in the will of God. So he labored fervently. So what does laboring there mean? It means to compete for a prize or contend for the kingdom. So he was praying, contending, believing in prayer for the believers. That was, he had a fervency to do that. He had a desire. He was aiming and striving and stretching himself, taking time to pray for others. That's what I want you to see. That's what fervency. Fervency will cause you to do something for other people above yourself. Notice what he did. He laboring fervently for you in prayer. He was contending for the kingdom for other people. That's intercession. Amen? But there was a fervency describing a determination in some. Like he determined, he didn't wait to see how people were doing. He determined he was going to pray. And when he prayed, he went and did business with God. He had an intent for the body of Christ to be strengthened by the power of God and the word of God. So he fervently prayed. All right, so prayer has fervency to it. Fervency doesn't mean you yell, scream, and jump. Fervency means your intent is for God, for you to be used by God, and it forces you to move and do something. Amen. When you have a fervency for missions, what will you do? You'll sow into missions and you'll pray for missions. And if you have a missionary's heart, like you have a deep desire for missions, you are going to have fervency in that area. And you'll do more than what other people will do. You understand what I'm saying? Like most people will collect an offering for missions, will send money to missions. But you may write letters throughout the year. You may correspond with missionaries. And you may take time and pray for missionaries more than most people do. Why? Because there's a fervency. There's a fervency that God has placed on the inside of you that you want to pray for that area. So every believer has these tendencies in them to be fervent in some area or another. Amen. Maybe it is hospitality. Maybe it is social media. Maybe it is praying with people. Maybe it is nursing homes. You have something in you that God wants to get out of you, and it's the kingdom of God, and it's through the gift that he's placed in you. And I just want to encourage you that ask the Lord, what is it, Lord, that you have called me to do that you're stirring on the inside of me? Don't allow the natural or your emotions to dictate the fervency that you have, because I didn't realize I have a fervency to preach the gospel and minister as a pastor. I didn't know that till I found the Lord and got filled with the Spirit and started seeking God. And then he directed me in that path to minister the gospel. So pastoring and shepherding, I didn't realize it till I got right with God. But when you get right with God, he's going to put you in places that you maybe never thought you'd ever go. He may call you to Bible school and you think, God, I wanted to be done school my senior year of high school and never do any more school ever again. I had that same desire. But then I went to college and then I went to Bible school. And I've realized now that you study to show yourself approved. So studying is a constant as a believer. There's no being done. There's no plateauing where you're like, well, I know it all or I've got it all. I'm content where I'm at. I'm not content. There's a fervency on my life to preach the gospel. So that causes me to preach on Sunday. It causes me to do chaplain, go love on people. That's the fervency. I have to demonstrate. I have to go do what is burning on the inside of me. And you'll see, I'll show you other definitions of fervency that is the internal burning or boiling on the inside, that white hot zeal to go do, where you, if you don't go do it, you'll feel like you're going to blow up type of thing. Like, I got to go do this. It's burning on the inside of me. And then you find fulfillment in doing that. So we see here that he labored fervently in prayer. He was a man who cared and made others his priority. See, fervency with God forces you to look at others, not yourself. If that's one key you get out of today, fervency in the kingdom of God always is outlooking, not inward looking. Amen. For it's not about what can I get, it's about what can I give. That's the fervency of heaven. That's the desire of the born again believer in you is, hey, I've been set free. I want to share my freedom with other people. I want to believe God that they can get what I have. Amen. That's fervency. 1 Peter 4:7-11. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sin. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. So prayer can have fervency, and your love walk can have fervency. Amen. It's a determination based off of your spirit on the inside to cause you to love your enemies and to love people that don't love you. Amen. To walk in love all the time. See, when you are fervent for God, your focus, your life, your desires are all wrapped in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. They're not wrapped in this world. They're not wrapped around your emotions or your feelings or your flesh. Your heart is wrapped around the kingdom of God. And you want to please your king. You want to please your Lord. So that's why you do what you do. Amen. That's why you're able to love people. It says, and it covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Love has, when you walk in love, it has the ability to just float right over sin and dissolve sin right before your eyes. When you love people that are angry, that anger, something's going to happen there. Either it's going to settle or they're going to move on. Why? Because the love of God is there. And when you have fervent love for people, you will bypass, and you can't judge them, you'll bypass and you'll go there to help them out. See, what happens is what the world does, if they can't get something out of this situation, they don't want to be a part of the situation. But for the believer, you're not going there to get something out of it. You're going there to give something to it. That's the love of God. Get that in your spirit. That is the love of God for the church. Fervent love for people is no judgment, no preconceived notion, no what can I get out of it. See, that's the whole thing about tithes and offerings. See, religion gets mad about tithes and offerings because they think the minister's trying to get money or the church is trying to get your money. That is not tithing and giving at all. It's so the Lord can operate through you and bless you. That's why you tithe and you give. So how you perceive something, the fervency of preaching on offering and giving is because I want to see you blessed. I want to see God move and produce miracles in your life and protect your finances and protect your business. It has nothing to do with funding the church or building the bank account at the church. It is totally about blessing you. That's what offering gives. That's what preaching gives. Preaching isn't to get something, it's to give. Amen. And that's why there's a fervency, because the kingdom is always about giving. It's always about increasing God's kingdom in your life. So there's fervent love one to another, for love covers a multitude of sin. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Notice something. As you find the ministry that God has for you, fervency will come upon you strong. When you find out what it is that the Lord has for you to do, that word minister there is where they get the word deacon. It's deaconess, which is to serve. So it's not fivefold ministry necessarily. Partially it is. But that word ministry there, or ministering, is serving. So where you find to serve, that's where you'll have fervency in. So God, that's what I was talking about earlier. So whatever it is, when you find, that's why it's vitally important, get this, church, that's why it's vitally important to be serving. Because you will lose or not have fervency if you're not serving. As a pastor, if I give up pastoring, or I don't preach for 4 weeks straight, go on some sabbatical, and I know everybody has their thoughts on a sabbatical, but as for me, if I'm away from it too long, my fervency, I'm not going to increase my fervency, it's going to weaken. I need to be in a place of ministering the gospel. Amen. That's why chaplain is important to me throughout the week. I love to minister. I'd have Bible studies every night of the week if it wouldn't burn out my family. And I, if I didn't have a family and didn't have any obligation, I would love to preach and minister every day. Because I know that's what it gives me fervency. It gives me a desire and it fulfills me. Amen. But there's obligations. I'm married. I have kids. I have family. I have things I need to do other than just preach only. Amen. But what I want you to understand is God has some place for you to serve in. And when you do, you'll feel the presence of God carry you and it'll bring you a joy and an excitement. Fulfillment will come when you are serving. So if you're not serving anywhere, I'm telling you, you won't have a fervency. You won't have a desire to help people. Because, man, when you help somebody, there is no greater feeling than to pray with somebody and they receive what you're praying for or bring joy to somebody's life. Amen. Man, there is no, when you go witness to somebody and they get saved, there's no greater feeling than seeing someone go from a frown to a smile and see the presence and the glory of God on them. There's no greater feeling than that. But that desire, you'll never know what you can be fervent for with the Lord till you go and do something. People will say, well, I've never seen someone healed. And my question would be, have you ever laid hands on anybody? You'll never see anything unless you go do. Amen. You have to go do to be able to see something. I never won anyone to the Lord. Somebody will say, have you ever shared the Lord with anybody? There's people I've prayed with, laid hands on, and I didn't see any manifestation, but it doesn't stop me from keep doing it. Amen. That's between them and the Lord. God said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Any sick. You know, I'm not looking at percentages. I'm just doing what he says to do. Fervently, desiring, going, laying hands on people, sharing Jesus with people. You know, it's up to between them and the Lord. The rest of it, he'll settle the rest of it. But as for me, if I want to see it, I need to be actively doing something. I need to be serving. And I want to encourage you in that. This isn't a serving message, but I want to tell you something. To have fervency and joy, you got to fulfill what God's calling you to do. If you're running from God, you're not going to have fervency for God. Come on. Amen. So, verse 10 again, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It is literally to be a good steward of your life, you need to be ministering to each other. You need to be talking to each other. Amen. Praying for each other. Encouraging each other. That's the grace of God. God's grace isn't just from heaven to you. God's grace goes down through the body and out to other people. Grace flows different ways. We get so narrow-minded that, Lord, I'm just going to pray and fill me with your grace, Lord. Give me grace, Lord. No, God also will send his favor through somebody to just pull out their wallet and say, the Lord told me to give you this. That's the grace of God. He flowed through somebody else to help somebody else out. Prayer works the same way. Who's supposed to be praying? The church. We are. We should be praying one for another. And that's one of my scriptures in James 5. Fervent prayer one for another to heal the sick. Amen. That has the power for God's grace to flow through it. But if you never operate, if you never do it, you're never going to see it. You're blocking the grace of God. If you want to look at it to kind of give you a whack in the face, if you say, well, I'm not serving anywhere. Well, you're blocking the grace of God from every other believer in your church family. Because you have a gift and you have a blessing to give each and every person. Amen. Church is not coming to just hear some guy stand up here and blab and talk and share scripture. The church is the body coming together to encourage each other. When we read scripture, when you read it, everybody has a hymn, everybody has a song. You have something in your spirit stirring and giftings in you to share with each other. You have a testimony. This is what the Lord did for me this week. Someone else may come in and they're downtrodden and depressed and struggling with something. You're the exact grace of God for them. To speak life to that and pray for them and believe God for a better week and break the power of the enemy off of them. Lay hands on them. Get them healed. That's the body work. That's body ministry. And when you understand that God's grace is upon that, you have a fervency to do it. Amen. You want to go help people. Amen. If somebody has a struggle going on at their house, they got their lane full of snow and somebody needed to plow it. Amen. That's the grace of God. Hey, I don't have the money to do it, but Lord, you know who does, and you have a way to make it happen. Lord, I'm trusting you in this. Pray for each other. Believe God for each other. Amen. The problem with the present-day American church, Western church, is they're still trying to believe God for their own needs, and they can't even think about anybody else's because they're struggling themselves. Break out of that. What you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. So, you know, if you need firewood or something, go cut somebody else some firewood and watch what the Lord will do. Our pastor in Pennsylvania, they needed a well for their upper room prayer. What did he do? He sowed into a well in Kenya. Guess what happened? He got a well. How did that happen? God? God? See, don't limit God and don't limit the grace of God. Have a fervency. Our desire, fervency and faith work together. When you have faith in God, you'll have a fervency there. You'll believe God and you'll be trusting God, and God, whoo, God will meet that need. He'll come and meet you where you are. Amen. Amen. That's what fervency does. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So when you minister, do it out of the ability that God gave you. Do it out of the gifting. Not everybody's gifted to come up here. But you may be gifted in another area way better than the person next to you. But you operate as a body together, and the grace of God reveals itself. Amen. God supplies that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So there's a priority to love others, always believing the best. Amen. So a part of fervency is an intent. Intently focusing, aiming, and purposing, and eagerly desiring to do the Lord's work. That's fervency, and that is already established in you. You say, well, I don't feel it. You're not going to feel it. You got to just operate in it by faith. You got to operate in the things of God by faith. If we're moved by feelings, we'll never operate in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God operates by faith. Salvation came to you by faith. In God's grace. Amen. And that's how it operates. So if we're moved by feelings, you won't have fervency. Fervency is not in your feelings. Fervency is in your spirit. And when you love Jesus and you want to serve Jesus and it's about Jesus, he'll stir that fervency up. He'll start speaking to you. He'll start speaking to you. 1 Peter 1:22. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Amen. See, you can have fervency, but if your heart's not pure, that's a struggle. Notice it says here, love one another fervently with good intent, with purpose, with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That incorruptible seed is the seed of fervency for the kingdom of God. It's the seed that'll cause you to go and do what God has for you to do. It'll cause you to have a desire to pray for one another. It'll cause you to love one another. It'll cause you to come together as a body on Sunday morning when it's freezing cold outside and the wind's blowing and there's snow everywhere and it's much sweeter in your bed. But there's a fervency of the love of God on the inside of you. No, forget all that. I want to come and be in the house of the Lord. Amen. That's where it's at. That's fervency. That's the seed in you. And that seed will cause you to do the kingdom work that God has for you to do all the days of your life. I'm telling you, this is something that is established in you, and if you stay tuned to it, you'll hear God all the days of your life, and you'll fulfill exactly what he's calling you to do. Amen. But it starts with the seed planted in you. Amen. Jesus Christ planted in you. having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So this is describing the church. Make it your aim, make it your desire to love each other, putting others above yourself. So that was the first part of fervency. Now I'm going to get into the action part. And I know I talked about actions, but that was started in your spirit. That intent, that desire. Now fervency will manifest itself. And in James 5, 13 through 18, it'll probably be New King James. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. But this is an operation of faith. Amen. So fervency actually will operate with your faith to cause you to physically do something. And here's the first one in James. And I always read this as, and I was taught this too, that in James it's talking about white hot zeal, like a bubbling. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about the operation, the motion of being fervent. And I'll explain that. It's putting forth power. This word fervency in this scripture means to be active, efficient, in operation, and putting to work. So there's an action that goes with fervency. Fervency is not a thought or a feeling. It lends itself to an action where you literally do something for someone else. We notice you pray and you love people. But here it is, verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer or effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So there's a fervency in your prayer that has producing power of the kingdom of God. And when you activate that prayer of faith and fervency behind it, there's great change that comes to pass. There's great things that happen when there is fervency and great desire behind what you're praying. When you believe what you're praying, God's anointing will come on there and you will see the sick made whole. You will see people set free. Amen. There's great power and it produces wonderful results. The Amplified says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, is able to accomplish much when put to action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. So when you have fervency, great desire with your prayer, God attaches to that and brings what you're praying to come to pass. Amen. This is where the church must be when we pray for the sick. Not just hoping they get healed, but declaring God's healing power upon them. Amen. That's why it says elders, those are people that are wise, that are mature in the Lord. When they pray, they know they have to pray in faith. They know they do, and it'll save the sick. It'll deliver people. It has great power. Amen. The word fervent there is to be active, efficient, in operation. I've said it. If you do not pray, you'll never see results. That's what fervency does. Fervency will allow you and give you the desire to pray, to act on God's word, to believe God's word, and declare God's word, and then see God's word. And that's what we want. Everybody wants their prayer answered, but it has to be according to God's word. But when you pray earnest prayers, when you pray effective prayers and operate in them, It's not the prayer or the person that makes the difference. Notice what it says. The effectual fervent prayer of a what? A righteous person avails much. So the key is focusing on the Lord, knowing the Lord, and praying His word. That's what brings your position produces the power in your prayer. Notice what I'm saying here. The righteous person, it avails much. The person that is in right standing with God, the person that knows the Lord personally, their prayers have power. Hallelujah. Their prayers have power. That's why someone that out there that just prays doesn't even know the Lord. The power isn't going to be released to bring forth tremendous change. But the righteous, when they pray, they should expect great change to come. They should expect their heavenly Father to say, yes, son, yes, daughter, I hear your cry. I'm sending my angels here. It's done. Thank you. Thank you for trusting me. That's what I want to hear the Lord saying up there. Thank you for believing for that person. Thank you for sharing my love with that person. Thank you for fervently desiring their heart to be saved. Amen. Thank you for seeing the need of that person above your own. See, that's Thanksgiving. But there's that fervency does that. It gives you that desire. Faith is the key to fervent prayer. Faith is the key to fervently love people. You will go above and beyond for someone when you have faith in God that God can do it. If you're not believing God, you will go very short distance with somebody. But if you have great faith and love for them, you will move mountains, you will travel long distances to believe for God to do something in that person's life. A family member, a coworker that you have a relationship with, you'll do great things. You'll put your life aside to focus on theirs. That's fervency. That's great desire that God has placed in the believer. That's what makes Christianity different than anything else. The love of God. There's no other love like the love of God. No other religion has that ability to love people wherever they are without judging them. Amen. And that's the fervency that's placed in you. It's placed on the inside of you. Here's the last one. White hot zeal. This word fervent is to be hot, to boil or to glow with zeal. Whew, that's powerful. What's it talking about? Your inner being, your heart, a white hot on fire, burning zeal to bring about change. And this is talking about a fervent spirit. So the first two, we're talking about fervent love for the brethren, fervent when you pray. But this is a very foundational one here, and this is a different Greek word that means it's fervent in spirit. So its inner working is bubbling on fire. It produces light and fire on the inside of a believer. That's fervent in spirit. We all want to have a fervent, on fire spirit for God. You know, if you have a hard heart, that's a cold heart. It's not fervent. Notice the difference here. You know, if you have a wood stove in your house and it is out and it is cold, it is not producing anything. And there's no better time to talk about that than on a 20-degree winter day with the snow blowing sideways. Your house would be cold. Everything around it is cold. But when the fire is hot, when the fire is burning, everything warms up around it. Things thaw out. What does that mean? I'm giving you a parable, an example of the spiritual well-being of a believer. When they are on fire, that heat radiates out of that, and it brings warmth, and it melts the things of the enemy. It literally thaws out the work of the enemy and allows things to flow. When you are cold, you are stiff. It's hard to, and I don't want to get into anything bad like when you die, but I'm just saying, when you're outside and you're cold, when I worked at the farm and my hands got super cold, I couldn't even unbutton my jacket. It's like, I know I can do it, but you can't do it. You try your best. You can't unbutton anything. You can't even pull a zipper because your hands are numb. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's cold. Man, when it's hot, you can you can do whatever you need to do when things are flowing and things are functioning. Same thing spiritually. You have the ability through fervency of your spirit to win the lost, to move mountains, to pray mountains out of the way, to declare your victory, to go to heaven, to get people healed. There's no limit when you're on fire for God, because there's nothing in this world that can stop the fire of God. Nothing. Nothing can stop the fire of God. Nothing can stop the word of God. Nothing can stop the name of Jesus. And it's all inside of you. What fervency we should have, church, to go and win the lost, to go lay hands on people. If you're worried about the outcome, you're missing the whole point. Yeah. Do not worry about whether they're going to receive or not. Worry about that you're honoring God and you're being faithful to do what He's telling you to do. Amen. It's not about whether they receive or not. It's about that you went. Amen. And that's what I'm talking about today. Fervency will send you. Amen. You will go and do things that nobody else will do. I'm not saying you got to go do a 10,000 person crusade and buy a tent, travel around the world. That's for some people, but it may not be for you. It may be that you make meals for elderly people. It may be that you go help at a nursing home. It may be that you rake somebody's yard. Who knows what it is? But when you put the love of God on what you're doing, you receive fulfillment in your life. Things get fulfilled. You have a joy and a peace on the inside where that fervency causes you to go do, and when you accomplish it, you're like, thank you, Jesus. I feel at peace. I feel your love. I feel fulfillment. Not that you do the work to get fulfillment, but fulfillment automatically comes. Joy comes when you do the will of the Lord. Joy will flood your soul when you do His will and you honor His word. That's what I want you to see here today. There is a fervency that is placed in you for you to do what God's calling you to do. And you need to ask the Lord what it is. Don't ask me, don't come to me after service and say, Pastor, I want fervency. Tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. I can't. I'm not the Lord. Ask the Lord. He'll tell you. He'll show you. He'll lay it right out for you. But I'm telling you, you have to make the step and do what He tells you. He may just say a word like, be faithful at church. That's your first word. People struggle with that word. They struggle with being faithful at church. He may say, tithe. This is my word. Start tithing. You fulfill that. You be faithful a little. I'll make you ruler over much. Make sure you do the first things first. Do the first things first. And I'm telling you, the fire of God will hit you all of a sudden. There's people that have said, I'll never sing in front of people. And they end up being on the worship team. People that say, I'll never preach in front of people. Now we're preaching in front of people. Amen. All these things we say never, our flesh says no, and God says yes. And we have to say, yes, Lord, I will. And not try to figure it all out. Not try to write it all down and have every single, analyze everything, have every detail. Well, every I has to be dotted, every T has to be crossed. God will take care of that. He will give, He will handle all of that. Well, I don't know if I have the money to do. If God's telling you to do it, He'll give you the money to do it. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. That's fervency. It starts on the inside. Acts 18, 24 through 28. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and a mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. The word eloquent there is he had etiquette. He was intellectual. He was raised up in schooling, okay? He handled himself well. Mighty in scripture came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. Notice something there. Mighty in scripture, instructed in the way of the Lord. Those two points right there will give you fervency for God. When you get into your word, He'll start speaking through His word, and the life of God will start coming into your spirit. So his spirit became fervent. Why? Because he was mighty in scripture. He read scripture and he was instructed by the Lord. He wasn't instructed by man. He wasn't instructed by the world. He was instructed by the Lord, and that gave him a fervent spirit. Notice what happens. He spoke and taught accurately. Wow. A fervent spirit will allow you and cause you to do accurate things for God. Why? Because the Lord working in you, He'll work through you. Let me keep going here. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he only knew about repentance. All right? So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Having a fervent spirit will allow you to speak boldly. Let me clarify something here, because a lot of people miss this. Boldly doesn't mean yelling, shouting, spitting, and dancing. All right? That doesn't mean bold is authoritative. You can have a meek and quiet spirit and be very bold. Amen. So I want you to understand it. Boldness comes with authority. Amen. So when you have authority and you know what you're saying, you become bold in that area. All right? And anointing will follow that. I've known people that are very calm, easygoing, talking, but they are so anointed, and their words are bold, and they carry a lot of weight, and they bring forth a lot of change when those people pray. And then I've seen people jumping around, spitting, carrying on, like foaming out the mouth, and they're just putting on a show. But the fervency and the boldness that was with this man was due to his being mighty in Scripture and being instructed in the Lord. And he spoke and he taught. See, when you're instructed by the Lord, it will cause you to go do something. You cannot be in the presence of God and just sit there and do nothing. God will cause you to go do something. You're going to be a part of something. You're going to speak somewhere. You're going to do something. You're going to help out. You're going to serve. You're going to be a part of the church and what it's doing. All right? So a fervent spirit is activated. It will activate you to do something. So he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. I read that and I thought to myself, I thought he was instructed in the way of the Lord and in Scripture. Why did Priscilla and Aquila take him aside and give him more accurate teaching? Why? Because he only had the baptism of John. He only had about repentance from sin, and he was very, very authoritative in that, knew that very well, but he didn't understand the things of the Spirit. He didn't understand the baptism of the Spirit. There's not a lot about Priscilla and Aquila, but they always did ministry together. They were husband and wife, and they worked with Paul, and they're very strong in the church, and they're very strong working with Apollos and things like that, so they had spiritual truth that they imparted even to this man of God that spoke boldly. So I just wanted to share that with you, that the Holy Spirit will encourage you and give you even more boldness and more accuracy in the Word of God. Verse 27, and when he desired to cross Achaia, and the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, and when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. He vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from Scripture that Jesus is the Christ. See, he ministered out of the zeal on his inside. That's how he ministered. He ministered out of the love of God and the fervency, and he refuted people. He came against what people were saying. Why? Because he had a fervency of who Jesus was on the inside. Notice it says, he refuted the Jews publicly. When you get the Holy Spirit and you get the Word of God and you have fervency, you're going to stand for what's right. You will stand for what's right. Amen. And the church has to stand for what's right. Amen. We got to stand. So there has to be a fervency and a boldness on the inside of you by the Spirit of God to stand. And how does that happen? It happens by being in your Word, feeding on the Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to fan the flame on the inside of you, to fill you with the oil of joy and the peace of God, and you're going to stand in the place that God has for you. Amen. And you're going to have a fervent desire, a white hot zeal for the things of God. You don't, and people talk about new freedom. Oh, new freedom does. There's a fervency. There's a great desire. There's a purpose and a determination on the inside that we want to see revival. We want to see lives changed. Amen. We want to see marriages restored. And we want to see the body of Christ be the church. We want to work together with churches, the kingdom work, pressing forward, moving the enemy's tent pegs back and us increasing ours. Amen. Coming against darkness with light. If you do not have fervency, you will bow to the enemy. You will bow to the government. You'll bow to whatever comes your way. But with fervency, you stake your claim and you stand on the rock and you say, no, enough is enough. I'm standing for my family. I'm standing for my marriage. Why? Because that Word and the Spirit is on the inside of you so strong, there's a boldness that comes on you and says, no, that's a lie. I declare the Word of the Lord. And you start ministering. Amen. You rebuke the spirit, you speak the name of Jesus, and you fight the good fight of faith. That's the fervency the church needs. That's what we need on the inside of us. When you leave here today, don't leave here with your head down, hoping something gets better. Walk out here with your head up, focused on the Lord, saying, yes, Lord, I have your spirit. Yes, Lord, I have the word of the Lord. Yes, I'm victorious. Yes, I'm healed. Yes, I'm an overcomer. Amen. Yes, this year is going to be the best year yet in Jesus' name. That's fervency. Fighting for your faith. Fighting for your brother and sister. Praying for your neighbor. Praying for your other brother and sister that are here today. Amen. That's the fervency we need. You say, well, how can I get involved? Ask the Lord. Lord, how can I get involved? Do what He tells you to do. Come see the pastors. This is what the Lord's speaking to me. We'll either confirm it or deny it. Amen. We'll either say, yes, that's the Lord, or go back to your prayer closet again. Amen. Because we see the gift on people. We know what they should be doing. But we can't tell you what to do. A shepherd guides. A shepherd offers the pasture, but you got to come feed. Fervency goes and eats. Fervency reads their Bible. Fervency prays. Ask the Lord, what is it that you have me to do? Yes, Lord, be it unto me. I will do it for you. Whatever you have me to do, Lord, I will do it for you. That's fervency. And that's what the church needs. And that's what the church already has. You just might not know it yet. Amen? Amen. I'm believing God for a fervent spirit on the inside of each and every one of you. You listening online, fervent, white hot zeal, ready on fire to go and do what God's saying to do. Bold as a lion. Amen. Bold as a lion. You say, well, I got so many things going on. God sees it. He knows it. Ask Him how you're to handle it. Some of the things that we deal with, church, I'll be honest with you. Some of the things we ought not to be dealing with at all. They're not even what God has for us to be doing. And we're headlong in it, thick as anything, and God doesn't even want us to do it. And then we're asking the Lord, Lord, help us in this. And the Lord's like, what are you doing? You're not even supposed to be where you're at. What are you doing? Don't spend your money and your time on that. Don't waste, redeem the time. Stop wasting your time with that. I can't bless that because I didn't tell you to do that. But yet we're praying this prayer. Lord, help us. Show us how to handle this situation. And the Lord's like, get out. But that's why our prayer doesn't get answered at times, because we're trying to pray something that God doesn't want. But when you get over into what God wants you to do, you pray and you see. Talk about doors opening up for a house and things like that. It's like, ding, 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 ding. There go the dominoes. If things aren't moving in some way, shape, or form forward, you got to ask yourself the question, why aren't they? Am I doing something I shouldn't be doing? Am I saying something? Am I confessing something? Am I believing a lie? Whatever it may be. Yeah. But man, I'm telling you, when that fire burns on the inside of you, you're like, huh, I could get... Point one, prayer and fasting. What has it done? It forces you to set time aside to focus on the Lord, to hear His voice and be refreshed by Him. Yeah. Guess what? There's a lot of things you could have been doing. I could have been cutting firewood. I could have been hunting more. I could do all kinds of things. You know, not that I love cutting firewood, but I could have been doing other stuff. But the Lord's like, no, you do this prayer and fast, and you focus on me, and watch what I'm going to do. And I don't think I shared it from the pulpit. When I went hunting in November, or the 1st of December, and I shot the deer that I shot, a big one, a nice one, a nice one. The Lord spoke to me, and He says, what did He say to me? He's like, you do my desires, I'll make your desires come to pass. So what He was telling me is, you focus on me and you prioritize what I'm telling you to do, I'll fulfill everything that you want to do. But you must do what I'm telling you to do first. And I did that. And I was like, Lord, I set time, but I was like, nope, I'm not going hunting. I had time in my schedule. Nope, I'm not going hunting. I'm going to focus on what you're telling me to do. And the time I spent, the fewer times I spent out, were more quality and more productive because I put the Lord first. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everyone bow their head and close their eyes. Father, I thank you. Even right now, that word is speaking to people. They have the fervent desire on the inside to serve you. As a born-again believer, the incorruptible seed living in each and everyone's heart has an innate desire to serve you, to love you, and to love their neighbor as themselves. And your word even says, there is no greater love than to lay down your life for your brother. So, Father, I thank you that seed is planted on the inside of the church. If there's someone listening online that does not know Jesus Christ, does not have that incorruptible seed, I pray you receive him right now. You receive the seed of Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to give you a fervency for God, a desire to serve the Lord, a desire to run with God. Father, I thank you that each and every person that does not know you, Lord, I thank you. Your word says if they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, they shall be saved. You listening online, I'm telling you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Come to him while he may be found. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose again. I receive you now. I'm saved, I'm born again, and I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Now you have the seed that'll give you a fervent desire to serve the Lord all the days of your life. As sin is removed, salvation flows. Father, I thank you for each and every person here today. I thank you that that white hot zeal, that desire, their aim, their purpose in life is to fulfill your will for their life. Father, I pray that each and every person receives that now by the Spirit of God. A hunger and a thirst for God. A desire to serve him at a greater level. A fervency on the inside. A fervency on the inside. Father, I rebuke any lie of the enemy that is hindering that fervency. That's hindering that desire to serve. To minister. Oh, Lord, wipe away. Blow out the threshing floor. Blow out the impurities. Burn them out, Lord. The things we ought not to be thinking on. The things we ought not to be doing. Remove them to the side, Lord. And give people a fresh fire to serve God with all of their heart. A fresh desire on the inside. Hallelujah. Oh yes, a fresh desire on the inside. To pray for others. To care for others. Oh, let their gift come alive. Their kingdom gifts you've placed on the inside of them. Help them to see them, Lord. Reveal them to them. Reveal them, Lord. And let your fervency rest upon them, that they may run and not grow weary. Run and not faint, that they may see what you're calling them to do and run and run and run with a heartfelt desire to please you. Oh God, touch your people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Comfort your people. Guide your people. Reveal your kingdom work to them. Oh God, I thank you for fervency coming upon the church. Just like Apollos. A fervency for people. A fervency to minister. To serve. To love and to pray. For all those around us. A fervency for salvation, a fervency for healing, a fervency for this nation. Lord, turn it around, Lord. Bring another great awakening. Hallelujah. Through the body of Christ, through the Spirit-filled, on-fire Christians that stand and are fervent for the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let it be, Lord. Let it flow, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Come to Jesus. Come drink of him. Come be filled by Him. Yes, church. If something's stirring on the inside of you and you want prayer, I want you to come forward. I'm not going to pray a long prayer. I'm just going to lay hands on you. Hallelujah. God is stirring His people. God is stirring His people. Those listening online, in the name of Jesus, be filled. And I release you to go and to run the race that God has for you. Oh, shalabro kodi shele kiro kodi. Run and not grow weary. Don't look back. Don't look at your past. Press into God. Press into God. Hallelujah. Get filled with all that God has for you. Oh, shalabro do shele kiri. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for listening online. I'm believing that this meant something, that this is stirring your spirit to catch the fire of revival and run the race that God has for you. Go and do what He's telling you to do. In Jesus' name. Bless you online. We love you. Have a great week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For each and everyone sitting here today, I want you to stand to your feet.